بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، محمد ورسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، my brothers and sisters, yesterday we spoke about the difference between data, information and knowledge, and then of course finally wisdom. Today I want to take this further and mention another thing which is extremely important in this, and that is the tools to make sense of information. Today we like to say that we are living in the information age, but really we are living in the data age. We are living in the age where random bits and pieces of data get thrown at us from all directions in all sorts of ways, for most of us, it is something that we don't know how to deal with. And that is why, just think about this. Today, we live in a world where it is this world today of ours is a heaven for the fake news industry. Now, just ask yourself this question and say, why is it that fake news is believed? It's believed because we have no way of judging or differentiating between fact and fiction. And given the development of AI, artificial intelligence, and better and better and faster technologies with regard to communication in every way, we are going to find more and more, not less and less, of things like fake news happening all over the all over the world, because people really don't know how to deal. People don't have the tools to deal with data. As I mentioned to you, data, when it's organized according to different themes, becomes information. But one of the realities also is that the same data organized in one way gives a certain message, and exactly the same data organized in another way gives a completely different message. So information that comes to us is not necessarily within quotes facts as in revelation, because that's the only thing which is fact and which doesn't change from in time and space. But also it is something which changes depending on who is interpreting it. So that's the reason why it's extremely important to have a means of checking and understanding, or rather checking our understanding of the data that comes to us. And that means, and that resource is called the mentor. It is the muslih, it is the hadi. And of course, Al-Hadi is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Hadi as in the general, not the particularized form. The one who guides, the Murshid, the one who guides and shows the way. Call them by whatever name you like, but that is the person, the individual that we need in order to make sense of the data that comes to us from every direction. Now, obviously, to add to this, we create our own problems, and that is the number of social media, you know, sites and apps and whatever we use, would give us more and more and more of this data. And remember, a lot of that stuff, the people sending it to you, on the other hand, are experts. And they manipulate that data so that it reaches you in a form which gets you to think or act or choose in a particular way which suits them, not you. Unfortunately, we also live in a time when people don't want to understand, people don't want to accept anything that goes against or is different from their own pet theory. So I'm sick and tired of telling people to stay off social media except in absolutely, you know, absolute case of need, not just anyway, and so on and so forth. Anyway, that's a different complaint. So what we need is mentors. Now, I'm sticking here to the religious angle, Islamically speaking. So on the one hand, we have, as I mentioned yesterday, we have free access to practically everything in terms of Islamic knowledge, whether it is Quran, whether it is Sunnah, whether it is Fiqh. What we don't have is the tools to put them into perspective, the tools to make sense of them. And that is the reason why we need muslihin and why we need mentors. The question then becomes, who is a good mentor? A good mentor, from an Islamic perspective, must satisfy the following conditions. Number one, must be a practicing Muslim himself or herself. Number two, must have a mentor themselves. Number three, they must have studied Islam in a formal sense, not just pick up this book from here, that book from there. In a formal sense, they must have followed some curriculum, whichever curriculum it is, some curriculum which takes them through different different parts of the Islamic sciences. And number four, and I mentioned that for, as the number first one, which is they must be practicing, and I'm mentioning it again, number four, which is they must practice very particularly with themselves in their own lives. So you cannot have a mentor, for example, who is whose income or whose free or whose food is doubtful, right? We don't know whether what they are eating is halal or haram or what. We cannot have a mentor who is lax about their prayers, who are lax about following the deen in different ways and so forth. So these four conditions, if the mentor satisfies, then this person is hopefully a good mentor to have. And that's why I say that if we have such mentors, and then what we do is we take our information we have, and we go to the mentor, we ask them about it. The mentor will suggest to you how to use that information. By all means, use your intelligence. By all means, use your sense. I mean, I'm not saying that blindly follow mentors, no. But at the same time, to assume that you automatically, because you breathe, that you have knowledge, or that just because you are reading, that you know the language, and most of us don't even know the language. We are not even reading the original Arabic text. You're reading a translation, which means that already it has gone through one transformation between the original text and the understanding and language of the translator. So now we are third hand. But even if you're reading the Arabic, it was like literally, this strikes me again and again, but just the other day after Juma, I happened to be there, so I wasn't sort of eavesdropping or something, but I overheard the conversation between two neurologists, both of them dear friends of mine. They were talking about a case and the tests that were done and so on, and the prognosis. Now, what struck me was that both of them were speaking English, and really I couldn't understand a word of what they were saying. Right? I'm not stupid. I know English, alhamdulillah, very well. But I could not understand a single word of what they were saying. And what struck me and what strikes me always in these cases is the reason is not because I don't know the language, but because I don't know the technical language. So I don't have their understanding. So when these two neurologists are speaking, they're not just speaking English. They're speaking the technical English related with neurology. Now, this is easy to understand, but when it comes to Islam, somehow we feel that, well, as long as I know English, we don't even bother about Arabic. As long as I know English, as long as I can read a translation, I don't need anybody to guide me. I think that is one of the dumbest assumptions to make, right? You need somebody to guide you, believe me, and I need somebody to guide me. We all need. There's nobody who's free. Anyone who thinks that he is free from the need for a mentor or free from the need of a musleh, which means somebody who is going to guide you and correct you, is literally sitting in the lap of shaitan. And this is not my saying. This is what Hazrat Maulana Abul Hasan Nadwi rahmatullah used to say, ke jo apne aap ko musleh se mustaghni samajhta hai, wo shaitan ki god mein baitha hua hai. So he used to say that the one who feels himself free from correction, free from islah, is sitting in the lap of shaitan, and may Allah protect us from that. So it's very important for us to keep this in mind and to seek mentors and then to listen to them, not argue with them, not push back and be rebellious, but listen to them. As I said, I'm not suggesting to you that you follow blindly. By all means, use your intelligence. By all means, read some more and investigate and whatnot. And if the mentor tells you something which you discover somewhere that there is a contrary opinion, by all means, share it with them. I'm not saying they are wrong or something, but maybe there is a different understanding of it. Maybe they will help you to put the things in perspective from another sense. So by all means, discuss with them, talk to them. But don't for a minute imagine that just because you know the language that you understand the knowledge. You do not. It's not a given. It doesn't happen automatically. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to do that which is pleasing to Him and save us from that which does not please Him. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.